Good morning. Again, Steve, thank you. Thank you for sharing your testimony. I appreciate that. And I think it takes a lot of courage to stand up and share your story and tell a little bit about who you are. You're opening yourself up. So my name is Greg Robbins. I'm one of the members here at Santa Clara First Baptist Church. I was trying to remember when I actually joined, and it's been a long time. I know we were here before Bethlehem started, so Bethlehem's going, what, 15 years now, 13, 14 years. So I am part of the leadership of the men's ministry. And men's ministry, what that is we get together the second Saturday of every month, and we have a nice men's breakfast over in the fellowship hall. It is open to all adult men, so please, if you feel that you have the time on a Saturday morning to come over, we have great breakfast, great food, great fellowship, and it's a really good time. We also have a men's Sunday school class that meets every Sunday morning at 9:15 right over here in rooms 19 and 20. That got started because of the Crazy Love series that we did during the Lenten series, and after it was over, we said, hey, this is pretty good. Let's keep this going. And now we have, I think, about on a regular basis, about 8 to 10 guys that come every Sunday morning. And it's a great time. We share, we lift each other up, we support each other during the good times and the bad times. And there's a lot of growth that we've seen in the men. So I'm going to talk a little bit today, but before we get going, I'm going to do a little icebreaker. At the men's breakfast, we talk a little bit about, I gave them a challenge. I said, if you had open range, top 10 list of what you would do if the men were totally in charge of the renovation project for the church. We got it, Chris? So number 10. Oh, here we go. Father's Day top 10. Church renovation ideas. Number 10. A permanent space to leave Bethlehem set up year-round. Yeah. Number 9. A Starbucks outlet in the parlor. There you go. Number 8. A new gymnasium. Okay. I guess that's to play volleyball or something. I'm not sure. Number 7. Info table turned into a milkshake and soda fountain. Number 6. Reduce the size of the library and install new sauna hot tub in the men's room. I don't know about you, but I don't really need a hot tub in the men's room. Something. Number 5, magazine racks in the restroom with Field & Stream, Sports Illustrated, and Popular Mechanics. That's why I don't really want the hot tub in the men's room. Number 4, special recliner chairs for VIP sitting. Number 3, the flat screen TVs in the lobby with live sports playing, so we can stay up to date with the Giants, the Niners, the Sharks, whatever's happening. So, number 2, this was Pastor Rich's request. Pastor Jenny's office replaced for Pastor Rich's executive washroom. He did not state where he wanted to put Pastor Jenny's office, but. And then the number 1 church renovation idea would be a Bethlehem parking garage, because we always have such parking issues. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about a typical day in the average man. And now, not everything may apply to you. Some may be more, some may be less. And because it's Father's Day, I'm choosing men, but it could be for anyone. Okay, so women of the church, I'm not excluding you. This could be you. Okay. So your day starts off, what do you normally do, right? You wake up, you start getting cleaned up, and then you go down and you gotta go get your breakfast ready. So you gotta get your apron on, you gotta get the lunches ready for school. Hope I don't take my mic off. So you gotta get ready to go. You got your apron on, you're fixing the lunches for the kids, you're checking their homework, you're making sure that everything's going good, right? Then you read the paper while you're drinking your cup of coffee. You got that out. You're going well with that. You're reading that. Now it's time. It's chaos time because the kids have to be at school in 5 minutes. You got to get their backpacks ready. Got to get their backpacks on. It's time to go, kids. Let's go. We got to go. So you load up the kids. You zip out the door. You turn on the radio. You make sure that there's no traffic delays. So when you drop off the kids, you can zip on to work. You run into the school. Hi, Mr. Teacher. Oh, wait a minute. Forgot something. While you're getting ready in the morning, you have the diaper bag. You might have had to change a diaper or two, so you got to have that. So you run into the school, acknowledge the teacher that you're going to entrust the kids with. Sorry, I'm late. There'll be better next time. So then you keep running. Now you got to go back into the office. So it's work time, right? Have you ever noticed you can have the best laid plans for your job? You can have everything synced up on your iPad, your iPhone, your BlackBerry, whatever kind of device you use. You can have it all synced up, ready to go. But when you get to the office, there's always something going on. There's always something wrong. So you got to bring your laptop. You got to bring all your computer stuff. Yep, it's getting kind of heavy up here. Right? So now your day starts off. It's a little crazy because you have stuff going on. It's not really matching to what you had planned it to be. So you're getting stressed out. You got to hurry up to this. Got to hurry up to that. You got another meeting to go to. Then it's lunchtime. All right, you're going to take a break. How many of you actually take a break at your lunchtime? How many of you actually, you're not out there texting, tweeting, voicemail, checking the messages, seeing what's going on? And when you get that message, you hear from your wife and she says, oh, by the way, today there's a softball or a little league game for little Richard and you got to go pick up snacks because it's your turn to bring snacks. All right. So you got your cooler full of snacks. You got to remember to pick that up on your way home. So now you know that you got to leave the office early. So you cut your lunch in half. It's no longer an hour lunch. You get a half hour lunch and you're running back to the office and you're trying to crunch and get all your numbers done and get it, whatever it is done. You leave early. You go home. You pick up the cooler. But little Richard forgot his bag of sports stuff. So you got to bring the sports stuff with you. Thanks, Matt, for putting the bricks in here. So now you run over to the little league game. I play softball, so I keep saying softball. So we run over to the softball game, and you're there. And yeah, you volunteer to be an assistant coach, so that's why you also have to be there. You guys win. You go to the victory pizza party, and then you remember, oh no, I've got another meeting at church because I'm on 12 committees at church. So then you drop off the sports bag. You drop off the kids, but you pick up your church bag and you got to run over to the church and make sure that you have plenty of time so that you can go acknowledge and do what you need to do at the church. All right. Well, it's now 9:00. You get home. And when you walk in the door, the missus says, honey, the bathroom sink is leaking. And if you don't fix it tonight, there's going to be a flood. All right. So you set that bag down. But then you got to pick up your tool belt, put on your tool belt, you go fix it, and now it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and you finish fixing the sink, and you finally get some quiet time. So you go and sit down, and what do? You turn on the TV, and you catch the latest news, right? You want to see what's happening in the day. Or you turn on SportsCenter, you want to see what, you know, the Giants did or the Sharks did. All the while you're doing that, you've got your laptop open, you're trying to plan your day for the next day, but you're also texting, tweeting, Facebooking, whatever it may be. And then you realize it's now midnight and you got to be up 5 hours and do it all over again. Do you ever feel this way? Do you ever feel like you never get caught up? And you got all this stuff, work, home, children. Now, in themselves, they're not bad. In themselves, these things aren't bad. Maybe the texting and the computers and stuff might be bad, but your family is definitely important. Your children are important. Your work is important. They're all given to you by God. Right? Well, do you ever feel just so weighted down by these things? Physically, emotionally, spiritually? Where are you with that? When was the last time you just stopped and said, man, I am tired of living this way? Did you notice what was wrong with my day or your day during this whole activity? There was no God. I'm not going to ask a show of hands because I know I do it. When I'm at the office, I go in 7:30 every morning, and I don't leave till about 6:30, 7 o'clock every night. And I don't stop for God. It's all about move, 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 go, go, go. Keep going. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, is Jonathan Fung here today? Are they out of town? Hey, Jonathan. Thank you, sir. Jonathan was up here a few weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he did an exercise. And he put up a video, and it was so quiet in here. It was beautiful. And he had some words going across talking about how you need to slow down. And for the first minute, I went, wow, this is really great. I get it. We got to slow down. We got to stop. We got to acknowledge the Lord. About 2 minutes into it, I said, okay, I get it. Let's wrap this up. Let's wrap it up. The third minute came. I was like, oh, man, this is really going on. But you know what? That was the point. I failed. I wanted it to be over because I didn't know how to be silent. I didn't know how to be quiet. And it was just this amazing, like the light bulb went off in my head. It was like, Greg, just shut up. And even in silence, we do that. We are so trained to be always moving, always acting, always doing something, because we're afraid that if we stop, well, there's got to be something else to do. Or maybe it's because when we stop, maybe God will find us. Maybe God will acknowledge and say, you know, it's quiet, and I'd like to spend a little quality time with you. And maybe we don't know how to react to that. Maybe we're afraid of what God will see. You know, we're constantly moving. We're constantly needing the noise that society gives us. We don't know how to be silent. We're afraid of it. And like, say, oh my goodness, quiet time with God? What if he wants me to do something for him? Well, you know, I'm really busy and I don't want to fail him. So I want to keep moving. I want to keep moving, stay away. You know, if God can't interact with me, then I don't have to worry about it. If I don't have to be engaged with God, then, well, I'm not really failing him, am I? Well, yeah, you are. How many here have children? Show of hands. Beautiful. Isn't it great? One of the greatest joys for me as a father, I have three beautiful children that they just take my heart away. And when I come home from a busy day at work, and I get out of the car, and my wife opens the door, and they come running out of the house. Daddy! Daddy, you're home! Daddy, you're home! And I pick them up, and I hug them, and I take them into the house, and we sit on the couch, and they just want to share with me. They say, Daddy, this is what I did at school. Look what I made for you. Look what I did for you. And then they start talking about, Daddy, let's go do stuff together. Let's go play. Let's go outside. Let's play a board game. And then it gets to, well, Daddy, I want this. I want that. I want this. Does this sound familiar? How much joy do you think our God gets when we come running to him? How much joy does he get when we come and talk to him and say, God, this is what I did today. This is where I was at for you today, God. I was out there at my job and I was working, but I had you involved. And God, I just want to say, you know, maybe you can use me again tomorrow. I'm going to ask you for things for tomorrow. I want to, you know, God, you know, what can we do? Can we go out and do some stuff tomorrow too? And sometimes we ask for things for God, and sometimes they're not the right things because we don't know how to ask sometimes. But just like my children coming to me, God just loves it when you come to him. He loves it. You think about that? Think about God standing there waiting for you to come to him, for you to make that decision, to run to him. He's there, open arms. He's getting down on the one knee. Come to Daddy. That's our God of the universe, coming for you, waiting for you to come to him. He wants to hear your day. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be involved in what you have done and what he wants you to do in the future. I want to just take a moment here as I finish up. There's a couple of examples of spending time with our Heavenly Father. And they come from a pretty good source. They come from Jesus. And if you can turn to your Bibles for me, in chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, in verse 29 through 35. I'll set the stage a little bit here. This is very early on in Jesus' ministry. And I'm going to just put this little disclaimer out there. I am not ordained. I am not... this is just a layman's version of what you're getting, and I hope that it speaks to your heart in this way. But this is very early on in Jesus' ministry, and he's just chosen his disciples, and he's been out very busy. He's been out casting out demons, he's doing all kinds of stuff. And then here we are in Mark chapter 1, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So they went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. I'm going to stop right there. Jesus is a busy man. He gets up in the morning, he's busy, he's moving, he's casting out demons, he's working. We're working. Right? Jesus is a very, very busy man. Now we go on to verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Even Jesus knew that he needed quiet time. He needed to involve God in his life. He needed to take the time to spend it with God. How important is that? What does that mean to you? If Jesus knew that he needed to take the time to be quiet, why can't we? Now, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 14... verses 22 through 23, once again, Jesus is doing his job. He's healing the sick. He's casting out demons. He's trying to get off by himself, but the crowds won't let him. So he gets on a boat. He goes out into a boat. He's going to try to go off by himself. But the crowds are running up ahead. They're going to the towns, and they're telling the people, you know, this guy, he's healing people. He's miracles. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's amazing. This guy, it's amazing. And so when he lands his boat at the next town, there's a huge crowd. And he continues to do his miracles. He continues to heal the sick, make the blind see, do everything that he needs to do. And now it's time for the people to, the disciples say, hey, let's get rid of these people. Send them back to their town so they can eat. And this is where Jesus says, no, what do you have? Let's feed them. He feeds the 5,000. We all know the story. He takes the bread, the five loaves of bread, he takes the two fishes, and he feeds 5,000 people. Sounds like a busy day, don't you think? Is it any busier than what we do? And then in verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So he's staying there. You guys go ahead. Get on the boat. Move along. It's okay. I'll stay here and take care of the crowd. Crowd, you're dismissed. You've had your food. Go back to town. Get a good night's sleep. Thanks for coming. Right? There you go. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Two images of where Jesus, our Lord and Savior, knew that he had to take time to really enrich his relationship with his Father. And it just amazes me that we need to find and train ourselves to have more quality, quiet time with the Lord. We had another list that I asked the men to put together for the top 10 list. And this one was about what would you do if you had more time. That's what it is, right? It's about how much time we have. We pretend that we're so busy that we don't have enough time. Things men would do with more time. Number 10. Spend it with family. It's good, right? Number 9. Teach and reach out to children. Now remember, these are from the men of our church to answer this. Number 8. Bring comfort to the sick and troubled. Number 7. Teach Sunday school. That's a good one. Number 6. Reach out to people and show that God is the answer. Number 5. Feed the homeless. 4. Meet and greet youth parents. Number 3. Volunteer more. Number 2. More prayer time. And the number 1 answer from our men, spend it with God. I'd like to do a little exercise with you, if you'll bear with me. We did this last Sunday in our Sunday school class, and I felt that it was really meaningful for a lot of people. I'm done talking. If you haven't got my message, it's about spending more quality time with God, slowing down, spending that good time with God. So I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes for a few moments, and I'm just going to, I want you to find the quiet place with God. I want you to find a where it's just you and God. He's with you. I want you to just listen to the words that I'm about to say and listen to their meanings and listen to what they, how they resonate to your heart. God is with you right now. He is in your presence. He's sitting next to you in the chair next to you or in front of you. God chose you. He chose you because he loves you. He created you out of the billions and billions of people. He created you and chose you because he wanted to be with you. God is walking with you always. How awesome is it that you are never alone? You have the all-precious Lord and Savior of the universe, and he is always with you. God wants to walk with you. He wants you to walk with him and talk to him. And I want you to listen to this last truth. God will never give up on you. He will never give up on any one of you in this room. He loves you that much that he will always, think about the word always, that means never ending, never ceasing, always, God will be with you. I want you to meditate on that. Father God, we thank you for this day. How awesome it is that we have a God that wants to be with us, that wants to sacrifice his one and only son on the cross for the promise of salvation, for the promise that we have something better beyond this earthly world. I pray for these people here today that they'll remember as they go from here to slow down, to take the time to be closer to this relationship with you. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for us, the promises that you've made. Who is like you, God? Who is like you? There is no one. There is no one like you, Jesus.